Hello. How are you guys doing? My name is Tushar Abhichandani and with me is...
Joel Pereira, as always.
And welcome to a very new episode of Uncle Please Sit.
Where we tell uncles to please sit.
As always.
That is the show actually, right?
Yes. It's just... we need to get sponsorship from a chair company.
Yeah.
Neil Kamal will be our sponsor.
Sadly, but Neil Kamal is also an uncle company.
It is the ultimate uncle chair also.
So, uncle chair also.
I've seen all society meetings happen on Neil Kamal chairs. Always.
Yeah,
have you ever seen a society meeting without a Neil Kamal chair?
That's true.
Never.
That's true.
Because it has become... they found their market and they know who they are.
Yeah.
They accept themselves.
It's low. Yeah. It's perfect for uncles.
Yeah. And it lacks complexity.
It's literally one piece.
So how have you been, Joel?
I'm good, man.
Like, have you been quarantining yourself?
Yes. I've been practicing what we nicely know call social distancing.
Yeah. Well, basically like other people f*** off.
Yeah. Where we like trap ourselves, lock ourselves in our home and bite our nails seriously while updating Twitter. Seeing how many people, seeing what's happening with the world around us.
So yeah. So Joel, what are we talking about today?
Okay, today we're talking about something that's fairly contentious.
What are you saying? We never discuss contentious
issues. Yeah, we always do. We agree with everyone all the time,
yeah,
right?
I'm like, because we're very mainstream. We're very mainstream. Pro and mainstream.
Our opinions are just in line with everyone else's.
Yeah, we are semi-uncles.
No, today we're talking about reservation. Yeah, it's one of those, in American politics, there's something called the third rail that you just do not touch. The third rail, basically, if you don't know, is in the subways, right? You don't have an overhead wire. Yeah. You have a third rail, which is basically live, which is providing the train electricity. And if you touch it, you die. Obviously, it's got 25,000 volts running through it. And so in America, the third rail of politics is referred to as... these entitlements like Medicare and healthcare and so on and so forth. In Indian politics, I would assume the third rail of, at least in the recent past few decades, has been
reservations.
It's something that people just don't touch. And today we're going to talk about it because there are so many nonsense opinions about it. And
a variety of them. It's like there is this endless. I've realized it's the favorite uncle topic.
It is the favorite uncle topic. And, it finds a lot of resonance with people, right? A lot of people who would consider themselves very well off, or not well off, sorry, well traveled.
I think it's also become a bigger issue post the 90s when, since we've had the so-called economic boom.
Yep.
I mean, considering which is right now.
Yep.
But the economic boom post 1992 after the reforms.
Yep.
Where education became a very important element.
Correct.
Of, I mean, it was always an important thing for most middle class people.
Yeah.
And for essentially most Indians.
But
post 1992, you realize that if you had a good degree, if you went to a good college, the chances of you getting a good job, making a lot of money, were much higher.
It was your stepping stone to success, essentially. Yeah.
It was an increase. There was an increase in the opportunities that came with a good education.
Yeah.
Which is why, and because reservations affect education a lot, especially government colleges and stuff like that.
Yep.
There is a much higher tendency to focus on this topic, or at least deride it.
And today we are going to establish why most of your opinions are not correct.
Unless your opinions align with ours, then they are correct.
Then they are absolutely 100% correct.
Then you should also be doing this podcast.
One second, to put it fairly. These are not our opinions as much as they are. We are just reporting on the actual facts.
Yeah.
Right?
People smarter than us have studied this.
Yeah, people smarter than us.
Written about it.
Correct.
And have very informed, smart opinions about these things.
And it's not even, these are
that
not
are actually
even
fact-based.
Yeah, these are not even interpretations. These are just literally fact-based.
Just facts, yeah.
Fact-based information that we are transmitting from us to you.
Yeah.
We have some history of doing this. Both Tushar and me have been journalists for a very long time. I was in television. I was at Times Now before it went crazy.
What you claim.
I was at the BBC. I was at the CNBC. I was at CNBC before that. And
I was
at
journalistic organizations I'd rather not talk about. Except Indian Express, which I liked.
You were at HD also, right? You were at the Hindustan Times.
And National Geographic.
I also was the producer and showrunner of this charming little show called On Air with AIB, where I was not on it, I was running the show, I was producing the show, but we would talk about news, events, and basically do a lot of this over there in television format.
Yeah. And I am a struggling stand-up comedian, and thanks to the likes of Kunal Kamra, Varun Govar, and AIB, we've become truth tellers.
Yeah.
Truth tellers. No matter how we are truth tellers now.
call situation we are in, man.
That's what this country has become. Yeah. Nobody listens to the news, so they get a lot of their information from comedians.
Yeah, because at least we have, not we, I wouldn't call myself a comedian, but you have direct integrity, right? Because it's like, these are issues that you care about.
Yeah, and just, you know, I'm not aligned to a party and not an asshole.
Not an asshole.
I'm not getting paid to bullshit, spread bullshit. I mean, I am, but that's for entertainment content.
That's for entertainment content.
That's a different thing, guys. Yeah. That doesn't count.
So, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more. And we're back. Tushar and me are at the IVM studios today talking about reservations.
What a lovely topic.
What a lovely topic. And because it's something that a lot of people don't talk about. And a lot of people talk about, but very wrongly, actually.
Very wrongly and without information. So actually, you know what? Let's actually go point by point. Look at things. Let's look at the opinions that we see.
So, okay, just to qualify,
we are going point by point.
Sorry.
Okay, sorry, no, go on.
Hey, man, stop interrupting.
Yeah, you interrupted me, okay?
As, just to qualify, we're not even going to go into the social or cultural aspects of reservation. We're going to be talking about the economic part of it. Like, these are mostly opinions held by people who are seemingly well-read, well-educated, well-traveled, etc., etc. And, I mean, the first one is, on the face of it, seems very reasonable, right? That reservations should be about economic status and not about caste, because, heck, we are in this country where a lot of us are poor. And everyone who's economically backward should get a leg up, right? What are your thoughts, Tushar?
My thoughts are that you know, a lot of simple ideas sometimes sound very enticing.
Yeah.
This is one of those ideas.
Like a Neelkamal chair.
Like a Neelkamal chair, which is what a lovely thing it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of simple ideas sound very enticing, but when you think about them, when you sort of scratch beyond the surface, you realize that they are very flawed.
Yeah. This is not flawed. This is garbage.
Garbage. Yeah, yes. As people may have noticed, I'm subtle. Joel is not.
I tell it like it is.
Okay then.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what people don't realize is that initially the reason that reservations were introduced into the constitution was that they were meant to offer social justice.
Correct.
Anyone who knows anything about the caste system knows that it's existed for hundreds, maybe thousands of years.
Correct.
And it's meant that a large section of society was essentially shunned from the mainstream of any sort.
Oh no, shunned is again
a subtle word.
Yeah.
Was essentially just cut off, just completely treated like they didn't exist.
The word untouchables exists for a reason.
There is, yeah. The word untouchables exists for a reason, because that's exactly what they did.
That's exactly what they did. And,
so the reason reservation came into being was to create social justice.
Hmm.
The reason it came into being was so that you would have a situation where people from castes that had been shunned forever.
Yeah.
Would finally have a chance to be part of the mainstream.
Correct.
Would have a say in the way this country was governed.
Correct.
Would have a say in the way this country was run by bureaucrats. And would also have a say in the way everything that happens around us would take place.
Yeah. And the only way you could do that at that time when the constitution was written and in the early days, even now currently, is to literally jumpstart involvement.
Yeah. Right. It's literally by pushing them forward.
By pushing certain communities forward and giving them advantages over the other to make up for all the disadvantages that they faced for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Hmm.
Now, again, on the face of it, that is also entirely reasonable. Because the thing is that the way I see reservations, right? And I am not, I identify as atheist, but I'm culturally Catholic.
Hmm.
And we don't have these many problems. I mean, we have the caste system in Catholicism as well, in Christianity as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not as formal.
No, okay. But that actually tells you how pervasive the caste system is. That even after converting to different religions,
your caste still continues to define your life. Yeah, it continues to define your life. And the way I see reservations is that it's a reversal of what's been happening for the last, like you said, hundreds, if not thousands of years. Wherein you had a certain opportunities and occupations and jobs and functions that were reserved for certain types of people.
Yeah.
Like I could be from what is considered to be a lower caste.
Wait, do you not realize the irony? You reserved these jobs for yourself for so many years, and now you have a problem with reservations because other people are getting them.
Yeah, because other people are getting them. Like for millennia almost, right? Mm. Like there was the priestly class in India, the Brahmin community who, this was not something that other people could do.
Yeah.
And a lot of cases on pain of death. You know, if you there are noted instances, there have been revival situations like, you know, with Kabir and so on and so forth, where he's talked about inclusivity, he's talked about, but yeah, I mean, for the longest time, or for instance, if you were, if you wanted to be a soldier, for instance, or if you wanted to be a lawyer, you had to be of a certain caste.
Yeah.
And these jobs or these occupations or this social status was reserved for you only. No one could bump in.
That's it. So a lot of this is, of course, the larger philosophical reason behind it.
Mm.
But if you had to explain it to someone in simple terms, the fact is this. Let's suppose there is you, a general category person.
Yeah.
And there's someone who's from an SCST category.
Yeah.
And these two people are competing, have almost the same, sort of, they're in the same economic spectrum.
Yep.
Upa niche thoda, but correct. Same economic spectrum.
Correct.
The chances of the general category person getting a better job or leading a better life are much higher.
Of course.
Than that of an SCST person who will obviously face a lot more obstacles
the
way.
Of course.
Especially if they're in like the rural or the semi-rural parts of this country.
Yep, yep.
I mean, it happens in cities also, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
But obviously, it's much more pervasive in outside the cities.
You know, Tushar, that's also not entirely true.
Hmm.
You know, there is...
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It does happen, and it happens to a great degree.
Yeah.
But the city still gives you some chance.
Some little more opportunity.
It gives you a small, you know, sliver of more opportunity.
Yeah.
As opposed to when you're in smaller cities or smaller towns or whatever.
Correct.
So, yeah, basically the difference here is this.
Mm.
The reason that although the government has obviously implemented economic weaker section reservation, the reason for not doing that, or the reason that caste-based reservations tend to be much more important, is because they will give a leg up to someone from a caste that has been oppressed forever.
Yeah. It's as simple as that, right? It's basically, you take a system that is patently unfair and then you try to correct it. You make it fair. Obviously,
in fact, weirdly enough, this is a bit like that libertarian argument. No, let everything be a free market and then people will automatically become better.
Yeah.
But which is not going to happen because people at the top are going to form monopolies.
Yep. And essentially that's what social stratification anywhere, but most specifically in India is, right?
Yeah.
You establish a monopoly over resources, over status, over capital, etc. And then you hold on to it and you are very upset.
I mean, Joel, look at this fact. Both of us have been working for over a decade now.
Yeah.
And a giant chunk of the work that we've gotten has been through people we knew.
Correct.
It's not like there was an ad in a paper and we applied for that job and we got it. It was someone who knew someone who knew someone.
Yeah.
Everyone sitting in this room has gotten it through someone or the other.
Yep.
And that's consistent throughout.
And that's the difference, right?
Yeah.
Like, especially, like even in the Mandal Commission, when they released the report in 1990, one of the specifications was an increase in public sector jobs.
Yeah.
Where at least then you can break this down.
Yeah.
Right. You can break this friends of friends, word of mouth,
close
grouping.
Or people from your caste, which actually happens a lot.
Yeah. People from your caste or people, what is the word that they use? People like us.
Hamare log.
Hamare log.
Yeah.
Right. And, but even there, right, it's not really working very well. Because for instance, in the administrative, in the IAS, okay, at the highest positions, this is according to an article in the print last year, out of the secretary-level bureaucrats.
And right, secretaries, working, just to be clear, are like the top guys.
Top guys,
These are guys who are essentially running the government.
Running ministries.
Ministries, yeah.
Running ministries or assisting the PM.
They're like the right-hand men of
the
PM or whoever is.
And out of 82 secretaries at the highest level, only 4 are from the SCST communities.
Wow.
4, okay?
This is after 70 years of reservation.
This is after 70 years of reservation. There's another stat in there where then you have joint secretary rank, which is basically...
Slightly lower,
Slightly lower. And there only 9% of the officers are from the SCST community.
Hmm.
Then you have the Supreme Court, which is obviously the apex court of this country, the highest court in the land. And
in the last, yeah, I think 8-9 years, only one new SC/ST judge has been appointed. Justice Gawai.
Yep, has been appointed in the last 10 years. And obviously, again, right, proportionally,
yeah.
If we look at, you know, where, okay, like you say, so-and-so community is, X community is, say, 15% of this country's population, yeah. Then representation should be consistent, right? Yeah. So then you have X community.
No, and again, we're not saying it should be exact.
No,
what
but
we're saying is consistent. It should be close by.
Consistent.
Like spectrum
yeah.
hona chahiye.
Yeah. On the other hand, though, you have a system wherein the upper caste community essentially rewards itself. Right, rewards itself and then apne log or people yeah. like us with all the opportunities and jobs, etc. Man, anyone who's applied for anything knows this, right? You've applied for a scholarship, you've applied for a job. The first thing you do is look through your social network to see who you know.
Yeah. You know,
right? You're applying to a college, for instance. Yeah. You will look through you're applying for a scholarship. Let's say you want to travel abroad or study abroad or whatever. And you need these letters of recommendation, right? And the first thing you do is obviously look in your own network, look in your own social circles to see where. And that's how essentially nepotism or, you know, the reservation system continues for the unwritten
reservation.
Which, to
be clear, we've also benefited from.
Of course we have. We've benefited massively from it. And so reservations, essentially, it's not just educational.
And you know the ultimate irony here is when a lot of Indians go abroad, and they realize that their CVs were not even shortlisted because of their names often. That's when they're like, oh, you know, I'm being discriminated against because of my identity.
Yeah.
But a lot of these same guys will come back and then say there is no such thing as discrimination in this country.
In this country, in our
own
country.
Which is hilarious.
Yes.
Now, Joel, we come to the second myth that people perpetuate a lot.
Okay.
That only the rich SC/ST kids benefit from reservation.
This is that lovely creamy layer argument.
Creamy layer. What
creamy layer is
such a
yuck.
Weird word.
First of all, it's
yucky.
Word.
Yeah, just why would you say creamy layer?
No
just
one
say
likes,
no rich kids.
No one likes cream.
Yeah.
If you like cream, you're a freak. I don't want to be your friend.
Yeah.
Also, I'm a little sad because I'm just general information.
You're just hating on people because you like lactose intolerant. Useless.
But yeah, this creamy layer, even before I was lactose intolerant, has always made me a little, has always been very off-putting.
There's something very off about cream, no? Just like,
because it implies, no, the creamy layer bit, because one, I think, and I might be wrong over here, but it implies that once, if you are from an SC/ST community, that basically once you have reached a certain amount of economic stability in your family or whatever, you don't deserve anything.
Then
more.
You're on your own.
Then
apna,
you're on your own.
Dekho, abhi ho gaya. Help
because now you're creamy layer. Yeah. And this is what basically funds this. This is what fuels this argument, right? That it's a free ride through college, that they don't need to pay. They can, but they don't need to.
Which
they don't need
reservations. Which is why this argument is nonsense. Because as we proved in our first point, that reservation is not just for the economic aspects of it.
Correct.
Reservation is also so that people are able to move higher in society in terms of social status, in terms of having access to power, which is what reservation does. And also you don't realize that, okay, chal, this one person has moved forward, makes 10 lakhs a year or whatever, 15 lakhs a year or whatever the figure is. There is still a chance that that person could revert back to his poorer status because he still doesn't have the kind of support structure that people in the general category tend to have.
Correct.
This is not to disregard the struggle that anyone in general category goes through.
No, it's not.
Everyone goes through struggle.
Yes, of course.
We're just pointing out that it's much worse if you're from a lower caste.
Yep. No, and also this idea that once, you know, that the it ends with that reservation. You know, ki reservation diya, now it's done. And like, this is not to, like, just adding to what you said earlier, right? It's about creating a social structure where people from the people from that community can pull up people from the same community, right? That's what you were implying. Yeah, I mean, it's the most basic thing. Again, that is a form of social stratification as well.
Yeah.
See, the problem with arguing these facts is that a lot of people actually believe in the caste system.
That is true.
You know, and we can only make
it's
the
actually
argument
the elephant in the room.
Yeah, you can only make this argument if you believe in justice, right? If you believe
in the concept of justice,
or concept of justice, if you believe in what is fair intrinsically, right? Otherwise, these are all academic points that you're raising.
Yeah,
because which comes back to, you know, we are talking about academics. Then there's that thing about the merit argument.
The merit argument, yes,
which is again absolute and utter nonsense, right? And here's why. Okay, so the implication is, and I've heard people saying this, okay, like if I see, and this was actually something that someone told me, that his family lives in a suburb of Bombay called Borivali. And he's like, I went to a dentist. Okay. Yeah. And I was recommended this dentist by a doctor. So I go to this dentist and I see that he has a picture of Dr. Ambedkar on his wall. So automatically I'm like, you know, he's one of those people. And I'm like, and I thought to myself, oh, he must have got through dentistry college because of the fact that he had a reservation. So I'm not going to him.
Wow.
Because he must be a terrible dentist.
This actually is a great lead into our third point.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of people, the moment they realize someone, their argument is that you're giving reservation to people.
And you're creating a flawed professional.
Because, you know, they're not good enough doctors or engineers or whatever.
So here's why that's absolute rubbish.
Yeah.
You need the reservation to get in.
Yeah.
Not to get out.
Yeah. They're not passing you because you're from a certain caste.
Yeah, they're not. Because if...
And honestly, if they're passing you because of a certain caste, you're definitely not lower caste who's getting passed.
Definitely not.
Yeah, let's be honest here.
Because... yeah, I mean,
because like that's the attitude.
If you have received an MBBS or a BDS or whatever, you basically done the same exam as everyone else.
Yeah, you pass or you fail.
You pass or you fail.
In fact, you had some dropout figures you were talking about, right?
Yeah, this is from IIT, where last year this data came out that 50% almost of students who drop out from the 23 IITs in this country are basically from the SC, ST or OBC communities. Yeah. Which is proportional to the reservation.
Which basically means the same number of general category students are failing as the
little
OBC, so the SC, ST. I mean, around the same figure.
Yeah, SC, ST, OBC are marginally higher.
Yeah.
But again, not completely inconsistent.
Because,
right?
Yeah, if they were passing, then this number would not exist.
This number would be lower.
Yeah.
Right, because if you have... So 50% almost of seats at the IITs are reserved seats and the rest are general public.
Yeah.
And the dropout rate is consistent with that. Mm. And people drop out for a variety of reasons, economic or stress or can't handle the workload or whatever. Or following their passion. But the fact is that the dropout rate is also consistent with the reservation rate.
Exactly.
Right, which is illustrative.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, what is another one that I've heard, I keep breaking this up, is, okay, right, reservation was a good thing. Okay.
Yeah.
50 years ago.
Point number four, basically.
Point number four, basically, that reservation was great 50 years ago, but now it's been 70 years of reservations in educational institutes and like whatever. Why have these communities not managed to lift themselves up?
And there are two aspects to this. Okay? First, they're like, "Acha, we 70 year, we gave them reservations. So now what do you want? Now it's done. And the other part is, even after 70 years of reservation, if they've not come up, then it's not our fault.
Yeah.
Now there are two angles to this. You are expecting thousands or hundreds of years of discrimination to disappear in 70 years. In a country which is not exactly efficient.
No.
When it comes to implementing anything, for that matter.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other part you're looking at is...
Or efficient or even letting go of cultural values.
Yeah, because I mean, it's not... 70 saal mein sab
we are, like, you know, they keep saying, hey man, it's 2020 or whatever, but we still do things in this country which are like fucking millennia old.
And that brings me to the other part. The other part is that, oh, you know, it's been 70 years and if they've still not been able to lift them up, then we should just cancel this. Maybe the solution is not to cancel it. Maybe the solution is to look at it and realize how to make it better.
Yeah.
How to make reservation more effective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Create mechanisms that enable people to use it better.
Yeah.
And also then in the process, enable other people to join the mainstream.
Yeah. No, because there is for a lot of kids, okay, entering academia or entering workspaces, this reserved seat is your make or break.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, again, another silly anecdote, but some years ago. So, I went to a fairly posh college in South Bombay, Missionary Run, etc., etc.
And
Wilson College. Woohoo! And I met this classmate, okay, this guy who was my classmate back then. And we met up for drinks and whatever. And we were chilling and talking about college and reminiscing and whatnot and whatnot. And then he said something very weird. He said, ki, you know, if I had applied for engineering, so I did arts. I was a BA in arts and he was also my classmate. And he's like, oh, if I had done engineering, which I almost got into, But my life would have been very different. And, you know, but I didn't get one because I was under the mark for general category. And these SC, ST guys, some of them, their marks were lower than me, but they still got in. And it's damn unfair. And I'm sitting there. And this is now, we are two relatively well-off dudes in Bombay.
Wealthy, according to our last episode.
Wealthy, according to an episode a few weeks back. And yeah, so we are sitting in the bar. We are paying like 400 to 500 rupees a drink. And this guy is complaining about his lot in life. And just to put it into perspective, he finished college with me. He also got his BA with me and worked and came up. And now he's a deputy creative director. Creative director at a global advertising firm.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, exactly.
My God.
Right? Poor guy. And he's like, yeah, man, my life would have been different. I'm like looking at his face and like, how? How would it have been different?
Yeah.
And how would it have been? You would have, okay, you might have not been in advertising. You would have been an engineer and done whatever. But how would the circumstances of your life change? You'd still be here hanging with me, probably. Maybe you wouldn't have
maybe
met me.
Slightly more wealthy, but I think after you crossed a threshold, you f*** off.
I doubt that also. You know? Yeah, I mean, like, you'd still be here paying 500 bucks for a drink and sitting, maybe not with me because you'd probably not met me, but with someone like me.
Yeah.
Right? But I would imagine, and not imagine actually, there are cases of kids for whom getting that one seat is their golden ticket.
Exactly.
Right. We could, when we were younger, and this is again personal.
Like, I'll tell you, I think a part of the other problem is that we've done a very bad job of explaining privilege to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And again, us, like the general category, because I don't think SC, ST people should have to take the extra burden of having to explain this.
Yeah.
What we should explain to people is how privilege works.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I'll take one of my uncle's examples.
Mm.
Struggled very hard.
Mm.
Had to walk, you know, that standard 8 kilometer chalke school.
Beta, when I was in school.
When I was a child, I used to do this.
Swim a river to get to school.
Now, the thing is, when I look at some of my uncles, they got into engineering colleges.
Mm.
They worked hard, definitely. And it wasn't like they were some rich family. They were just about getting by. And this was the 60s and 70s, of course.
When everyone was gareeb.
Yeah. So when pretty much everyone was gareeb in this country, barring like maybe like 2%.
Sheher ke jaane maane industrialists.
So yeah. So I'm looking at them, okay? They somehow struggled, got into engineering college, did well for themselves.
Correct.
And that's the reason me and my cousins are doing well.
Hmm.
Because all of that generation worked hard and moved on.
Hmm.
Fair. Hmm. You worked hard. Nobody's denying that you had to struggle, you had to work hard. But then I want to point that out to them is that there was another kid who was of a lower caste, for a poorer background, lower caste person. If you hadn't gotten into engineering colleges, you would have somehow done something else.
Yeah.
You would have done a BCom, you could have done something, you would have gotten into, maybe you wouldn't have made as much money as you've made now.
Yeah.
But you would not have starved. You would not have fallen into poverty.
Yeah.
You probably also wouldn't have been lower middle class. You would have probably made it to upper middle class at the very least.
Yeah.
But I know for a fact, I can guarantee you that because you can look through any report that exists in this country on caste and reservation. That other kid, if that other kid who made it into engineering with you from the lower caste, had he not made it,
he would have been done. That's it.
He would have been done. He would have, it would have been very difficult for him to move up because he did not have structures. He did not have a support structure around him. Like, he did not have an uncle who had a small business. He did not have a cousin who also went to college before him.
Mm.
This guy was probably the first guy in his family to get to college.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we need to be more explicit in the way we explain
again,
it to
right?
people.
All these aspects of privilege that we see, it's a word, again, privilege, social privilege is an academic term. It's a sociological word that has been popular now thanks to social media for about, what, 5, 6, 7 years?
Yeah.
Before that, it was
we didn't think about it, so.
No, we didn't know about it, right? It was, you know, it was there. It was in academic papers and discussed, like, you know, as a thing. But to put it into perspective, right, I too, like, I am a BA. That's it. Okay.
Oh, by the way, we need to give a disclaimer. You got reservation because you went to a Catholic college.
I went to a Catholic college.
I mean, sorry,
college.
Christian college.
Christian
it wasn't
college.
A Catholic college.
Yeah.
I got reservation because in Bombay, I am a Sindhi. And in Bombay, there is reservation for a lot of colleges are run by the Sindhi Trust.
Correct.
And there is reservation in those colleges for a lot of Sindhi students.
Yep, yep.
So, yeah, we just wanted to put that out there. So, it would be like totally hypocritical of
like
us.
Like a disclaimer, right? Disclaimer. Yeah, because what I was saying is, we're talking about privilege, right? And an argument, again, which is a fairly reasonable argument on the face of it, is that it's vastly unfair to general category students or general category people who might be...
That is point number five.
Yeah, that's our point number five, who might be poor or economically backward.
Hmm.
And to put it shortly, yes, it is.
It is.
It is. It is. It is unfair to some students. It is unfair to some students because... But then you have to...
The solution being sought is wrong.
Yeah.
It's not about reducing reservation. It's about increasing the number of good seats that exist in the
country.
Exactly, right. Because right now, the number of good quality seats in this country is fairly limited.
Hmm.
There are private colleges, there are public colleges, there are all sorts of colleges. But, you know, that core good quality number of seats is very low.
Yeah. So, you know, I was once at this talk, okay, and I heard this really funny, not funny, but very illuminating analogy. It's like, imagine a cake. Okay, and you have like 50 people. Okay, and now everyone wants a slice of cake.
Yeah.
Right. So now you have two ways of dealing with this. One, either you reserve key pieces of cake, like, or you cut it very fine so everyone gets just a taste or just a sliver. Or the other thing to do is just ask for more cake.
Make a bigger cake.
Or make a bigger cake. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's the easier thing to do, right? Instead of, I mean, just ask for a bigger cake. Right,
yeah.
Because then you're increasing the number. There's no reason why. Sure, there will always be elite institutions.
This is a country of 1.3 billion people.
Correct.
We are very short of good seats.
Yeah.
We are. It's literally as simple as that.
And we should be asking for more instead
more
of...
good qualities. I mean, there are lots of shitty colleges around.
Of course.
But yeah, we need better implementation of rules so that these colleges become better or are shut down and then other colleges come up.
That is what people should be asking, right?
Yeah.
Not... Okay, we
have
this.
Improvement in the overall quality of education in this country, improvement in the number of better seats in this country.
Yeah, because then you have this situation where instead of fighting, instead of pushing people down, like literally everyone rises up, right, simultaneously.
In fact, there is even an example of this. I think either it was one of the IITs or NITs. What they did was they introduced, I think, a reservation for women.
Okay.
And basically what they've done in these institutions, I don't know if it's still at the proposal level or has it been implemented yet. Basically, the idea was they wanted to increase the number of female students coming into their institutions. So they added reservation for them. But what they did was, instead of adding it to the existing seats, they increased the number of seats.
Yeah.
So that way, people who were already coming in weren't affected. And then you also added another layer of people, which enabled their sort of... increase in numbers. And maybe that is the approach.
Yeah.
Maybe you increase the quality of good seats. I have been repeating that too many times.
That is the policy perspective or whatever. But I think even on a greater level, right, on a societal level, we should start either being more conscious of our past.
Yeah.
And being more empathetic towards people who are, you know, because there is a bit of cruelty in here as well. Right, wherein you've got this community of people who've been put down for, like we keep saying, depending on who you, from on where you're getting your information, these are all hundreds of years or thousands of years, right? Who have been systematically oppressed, systematically repressed, denied opportunity, denied economic growth, and et cetera, et cetera. And then we can now, as a society, as a country at large, lift everyone up simultaneously.
Also, and... forget the moral argument. It also makes a very sound economic argument.
Yeah.
Just uplifting all communities is great for the economy.
Yep. It is.
It's literally as simple as that. If you don't want to buy the philosophy of it.
Yeah, that's even...
Which a lot of people won't, because I know some people are going to be... So a lot of people lack empathy, which of course we can't do anything about.
We can't do anything about, but we can always offer the economic argument.
Yeah.
Right? That it just makes more sense. So I think... I think we've pretty much gone through all the uncle talking points over here about why reservation is bad and we should cancel it immediately. And I think we've debunked most of them. But this is one of those things where it's fact-based, obviously, but there is also an appeal to empathy and appeal to like solidarity.
Just being a better person.
Just being a better person. Yeah,
don't
essentially.
Be a dick. As we always maintain at the end of our podcast.
Don't be a dick.
Do not be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
So, you know, I think that brings us to the end of our episode.
Yep.
We hope this was informative. And as always, we maintain that we hope that this will make you read more and research more about this topic.
Yep.
And so that the next time you're at a bar sitting with a friend who whines about
drinking
not getting
500 rupee drinks,
whining about not getting that engineering seat.
Yeah.
What do you say to him, Joel?
Uncle, please sit.
That's it from us, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also email us at talktous@indusvox.com. If you want to send hate mail, this is the ideal place to do it. You can follow our social media. We're at IVM Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to me, I am Yonoke, please, on Twitter, and Tushar_Abhi on Instagram. Joel, you are?
I am Pereira Joel on Twitter and joelpereira.esq on Instagram.
That's it from us. See you guys.
Bye-bye.